Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
A day of remembrance across America as we make sure we honor the 23rd anniversary of the September 11th, 2001 terrorist attacks, which many commemorative events are scheduled across our region locally here and, of course, in New York City. Good morning, Dawn Stenslin reporting to you today. This day's observances began 8:30 this morning at the Garden of Reflection in Lower Makefield Township, situated right there on Woodside Road, and so many ceremonies as we think about that timeline of the terror attacks that rocked America and all of us. We'll talk this morning about where you were, where I was, reporting at the time for CBS, three locally, but for many people locally.
Were you on the air when this all went down?
We were just, at that point, I had been anchoring in the morning, and so got off the air, because you think about the networks take over, NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, all of them. So we had just gotten off the air, came up to the newsroom, saw the first plane go in, and thought, oh my goodness, what's happening? Then when we saw the second plane, we knew this was not a horrible accident.
So what time was your shift over then?
So we had just, I think I had just gotten off the air, because we do cut-ins. We were doing cut-ins, you know, initially and that sort of thing, just as a normal routine. And then at that point, came up to the newsroom.
You're working, like, we're doing a lot here when we're talking on air, and there's a lot breaking. What's going through your mind as a news person? You're processing what's happening. It's almost hard to report on, you know? It's what were you thinking when, you know, you saw the plane hit and how you were going to handle this as a newscaster and such?
And so at that point, remember that two planes go into the towers. We don't know where that third plane that crashed was at 9:37 a.m. So in between there were reports that one plane was headed possibly for Philadelphia City Hall. And so that's where I was sent. I was sent to Philadelphia City Hall. All I could think of was, in truth, that my stepson Jonathan at the time was in high school at Creative and Performing Arts.
Oh, wow.
And they let out all the local schools. And I thought, oh my goodness, he's going to walk down Broad Street from Kappa, from school, and take the train home to Chestnut Hill, which means he's going to be, you know, walking to the train station that's underneath City Hall.
Yeah.
And now we're getting reports that they fear that maybe the plane is headed for City Hall. So I was in a panic to get a hold of him.
Mama Mo just
So you couldn't get a cell phone call out. And finally, I did get a hold of Stacia, and she was at Mary Mercy Academy at the time. They were both in high school, and feels like yesterday. And thank, of course, Saint Stacia. She's all over it. She's like, I already have Jonathan in the car, took him home. And she's the responsible big sister. I was like, I love you, Stace. But it was that day where when you finally got a hold of your family, you were just so relieved. So I can't imagine the families. Just think about, there were so many local families at the time that I interviewed, you know, including, and we've got to know, tragically, you know, Elaine Saraceni, the widow of the pilot Victor, of one of the, you know, the planes that went in, the second plane. And so we've unfortunately gotten to know those families who were, especially for the families of those in the towers, right? Because if your loved one was on the plane, you know, you did not have hope. But for those nearly 3,000 people, they held out hope that maybe their loved ones were able to evacuate.
Can you imagine the sense of relief, the rush of emotion that one would feel when they finally received the call that their loved one is indeed okay?
That's true. And the stories of people who something happened, they were held up, they had car troubles. You know, we had those stories too. The people who were supposed to be there and then had called to their boss and said, you know, I apologize, I had a flat tire, or I had a problem, you know, my child is sick, I will be in, but I'll be coming in at 10 in the morning. We had those stories too of people who, you know, think 23 years later, that could have been me.
Yeah.
So much to talk about this morning. But as we remember, and I know that local schools are having a day of remembrance, there's talk of making this a national day of remembrance. I don't know if we need another paid federal holiday, but I do support, especially schools and workplaces, you know, just taking a moment to reflect on what happened and to never forget. And to never forget those brave first responders who rushed in to the buildings. I remember because my Uncle Don was still alive. He was a longtime firefighter. So I was on the phone with my dad, my Uncle Don. Uncle Don said immediately, he said, those towers are constructed such that they won't topple over. So it will, in essence, it will fall. It will look like an implosion. That's how they're constructed, with that kind of heat. And Uncle Don said, those firefighters know. They know, if you're a firefighter, you know the risk, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And that, to this day.
Yeah.
That is heavy stuff.
Yeah.
They knew that they had seconds, you know, but they still went in. So think about their heroism.
Yeah. Ugh. The families, yeah. Want to take a break here?
Nope, that's okay. I want to
power through. We'll power through. It's tough.
No. But that just, you know, it's so important to remember that. I want to get to another story, and that's locally. When you think about traffic stops, police officers, we've talked a lot about the you know, NFL player, the football story in which he had a traffic stop. He's trying to claim now that that's a racist situation. Those officers in Miami, Florida, one of them put on desk duty and could potentially be fired, just like the Pennsylvania State Police trooper who was fired here in Philadelphia. Remember that traffic stop. So I want to think about this police officer this morning, because his body was transported. The body of Philadelphia police officer Jamie Roman, led by his fellow officers to a funeral home early this morning after he lost his battle to live. He did not survive being shot during what should have been a routine traffic stop. And if you remember this happened this past summer. And think about the headlines. When I talk about media bias by omission, how many national publications will carry this story of this African-American policeman? And I believe he served at least 6 years, as I recall, in the 25th Police District. And you think about him as a husband, a father, community member, beloved and missed by his fellow police officers there. He has been hospitalized since that time. And in this situation, 36-year-old Ramon Rodriguez Vasquez, still being held, $12.5 million bail. And this guy had decided to, during a traffic stop, he, at the end of the day, ended up running from police, turned around. He was getting away, turned around, and fired shots. And that's when he took down our beloved Philadelphia policeman. But Vasquez had no license, much like our NFL player, by the way. The car was not registered. But the officers had actually called a parking authority tow truck. By law, they had to do this. So Vasquez, you know, says, hey, you know, and his buddies show up at the scene. And the officers are very tolerant, and they're working with Vasquez, who says, you know, can I grab some personal items from the vehicle? So they say, okay. Now they see a holster and they say, whoa, whoa, he's got a firearm. That's when Vasquez starts to run and fires and shoots. And at the end of the day, when he strikes Officer Roman, now I imagine that these charges will be upped to, I would imagine, I would hope, first-degree murder charges against this individual.
I do have audio from Philadelphia Police Commissioner Kevin Bethel, who spoke this morning regarding this event, if you want to hear that.
Yes.
And as we shared during that time period, he had a very significant injury. Unfortunately, today we report that he lost his life. He has battled over these last 2.5 months, and it's a really difficult day for us. As you see the outpouring of love from the men and women behind us, we grieve for him, we support him and his family. The mayor has been with us, and our team has been in with us then and continues to be standing by our side now. And we'll have a much greater statement tomorrow where we'll outline everything and what the plans are moving forward. But today, we ask the community to pray for his family. We ask you to pray for the men and women behind you who give their lives each and every day for this job. It is a very, very difficult night. But we will get through this as a family, and we know the support of the mayor and all of our city government and other entities will help us get there. So thank you. And we'll get together again tomorrow to have a much larger conversation. Appreciate you all.
And so as soon as we have the funeral arrangements, we'll, of course, report that to you. Criminal records showing that the suspect here who remains behind bars in custody, Vasquez, he had fired on officers after an alleged carjacking in Puerto Rico. And so this was somebody who got away, slipped through the cracks, one of those stories once again. And I don't, because we are a sanctuary city, I don't have a record of, was he born in Puerto Rico? Where was Vasquez originally from? I don't have that information. But he's somebody who certainly should have, after allegedly firing on officers, that's a report we have, after an alleged carjacking. This is somebody who's one of those so-called bad hombres, is he not? And maybe if he had not slipped through the cracks, then maybe Officer Roman would still be alive and with his family. So I love that our commissioner just asks people to pray, and that's, you know, not everybody does that, and so I'm really appreciative of his beautiful statement, for sure. Speaking of statements, we have newly released numbers that I just want to top line for you here. Newly released statistics on our economy, and this affects all of us. Prices went up while inflation went down. That's the headline. New numbers released by the Labor Department this morning showing that inflation fell in August to the lowest level in more than 3 years. Obviously, this is not the big picture inflation, okay? But this bolsters the Federal Reserve's case for an interest rate cut that's expected next week, even as prices remained very high for all Americans. So the Labor Department saying that the CPI, Consumer Price Index, that's a broad measure of how much everyday goods like gasoline, groceries, and rent costs, they rose month. And this is a month-to-month number. It was in line, though, with expectations of economists, as I say. So they rose 0.2%. And then prices climbing 2.5% in August from the same time last year, slightly less than expected, down from 2.9%. So red hot in July. And so that one is the one I talked about, lowest level since February of 2021. So we'll watch this very carefully. The Fed is expected to cut the rates, interest rates, at least 0.25%. Some are saying 0.5%, but that would be surprising. So just to give you those economic numbers. As we move through the morning, we also, of course, we will highlight for you the debate that happened last night. And it was, there were so many moments, so many missed opportunities. I know that what goes viral are all the zingers that we talk about, so-called. But I do want to get to one clip before we have to break. And that is when they talked about the economy. That's how it started out. Kamala Harris started out. You could see that she was nervous. You could hear the quiver in her breath. And she was the light. She came out as the lightweight. You knew she was the lightweight. But there was a pivotal moment, and that's what I want to talk about after the break, the pivotal moment that I think happened that emboldened Harris, empowered her, and then what changed for Trump moving forward, and why, you know, I think he is ripping ABC, many ripping the ABC moderators. But let's at least, Ann, if we can go to the back and forth and the answer about the economy.
Do you believe Americans are better off than they were 4 years ago?
So I was raised as a middle class kid.
Not
and
into
I am
it.
Actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America. I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people. And that is why I imagine and have actually a plan to build what I call an opportunity economy. Because here's the thing. We know that we have a shortage of homes and housing, and the cost of housing is too expensive for far too many people. We know that young families need support to raise their children, and I intend on extending a tax cut for those families of $6,000, which is the largest child tax credit that we have given in a long time. What you're going to hear tonight is a detailed and dangerous plan called Project 2025.
Okay, that's what she goes on to that.
Intends on implementing.
So for me, when I hear her, first of all, that's the old rule that everybody says. I know Reagan is often quoted as saying it. Just answer the question that you prepared for and ignore the question. That's what you're supposed to. That's the number one rule. Now, if the moderators were doing a good job, even if, and again, there's no seemingly there wasn't much of a time limit, but at some point they should have said, well, are we better off though? Can you please just yes or no? Are we better off? That was what a good moderator would do. Can you both give me a yes or no and then go into your thing? But they never fact checked her, to my remembrance of watching it. And so she's allowed to focus on the middle class. And so, although Trump, I thought, came out strong on his answer about the economy, the only thing I'll say is that, you know, I think he should have said, you know, if she gets in office and continues her administration, which she's now part of the Biden-Harris administration, you're going to see my Trump tax cuts go away. So right now, the lower taxes that you're feeling are because of my tax cuts, not this administration's. So I just do feel that I wish he would have owned, you know, what he has done for the economy. And then I'll get into the rest of it as well. But one other piece of it is that he refers to those tariffs that the Biden administration actually kept, the Trump tariffs. In other words, equalizing the playing field for especially China and others, right? He did not articulate that as well as he did during the Biden debate in late June. And so I think he needed to just articulate those triumphs. You have it? Go ahead.
And she knows that we're doing tariffs on other countries. Other countries are going to finally, after 75 years, pay us back for all that we've done for the world. And the tariff will be substantial in some cases. I took in billions and billions of dollars, as you know, from China. In fact, they never took the tariff off because it was so much money they can't. It would totally destroy everything that they've set out to do. They're taking in billions of dollars from China and other places they've left the tariffs on.
So, see, he's, you know what, you and I, we know what he's referring to, what Trump is referring to. But articulate that. Take a moment to talk about what you fought for, what was your idea, your plan, your policy, and that this is something that is great for Americans right now. Thank God for the Trump tax cuts. That's helpful during this Harris-Biden economy, right? During Kamala-nomics or Biden-nomics, whatever you want to call it, that's what he needed to say. That his ideas, his tariffs, but he, you know, he speaks in generalities and does not articulate what he has done and about his successful policies with regard to the economy. Some of them so good that Harris Biden kept them in place. We'll take a quick break, get your thoughts as well. There was a missed opportunity And this could have been a mic drop moment that I want to give some free advice to President Trump and his team. If you're listening, sometimes I know you're listening.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you only imagine if Trump had answered, had a comeback, a powerful comeback such as that, to say, yeah, that's when people left. And so, yes, I plan to go back to Butler, Pennsylvania, as I've been talking to Mrs. Comparator as well as others. And we plan to go back to Butler, Pennsylvania, and we are going to honor our hero, our murdered dad, who died saving the lives of the people he loved most in this world. And so we're going to give a proper remembrance to Corey Comparator. That's what we're going to do. And that's who we're going to talk about. And we're going to talk about the economy, as we always do. And we're going to talk about security, safety, peace, and prosperity, all of which, during my administration, during the Trump administration, happened, unlike yours. I mean, that's what Trump should have come back with. The fact that she said that, the fact that the current vice president had the audacity to say that and go after his rallies, clearly she was baiting him. And so he absolutely needed to not take the bait, not get triggered, but rather talk about Butler, Pennsylvania. And by the way, there's no way that David Muir or Lindsay What's-Her-Face, in their breathy tones, their tones were almost satirical, quite frankly, but they were awful. But there's no way that they would have interrupted him as he was talking about the wannabe assassin, the fact that he was shot, but the murder of a Pennsylvania man. They wouldn't have interrupted him at that point. It would have been the moment that everybody remembered, and it would have been a turning point. So unfortunately, it was not. By the way, if you've seen the commemorations and the Remembrance Day at 9/11 at Ground Zero, you saw former President Trump there. He met Kamala Harris for a second time, because remember last night they met for the first time, and this morning they were right there at the World Trade Center complex, or what was the World Trade Center complex, at the 9/11 memorial. Coming forward, I'll tell you what their plans are for the rest of the day, because they will be making appearances across Pennsylvania as well as the country as we have this day of remembrance for September 11th. I talked about, you know, where you were. Quickly, I want to get to Lou in Langhorne. Hey, Lou, where were you 23 years ago today?
I was working on my car, and I was listening to the radio, and then I heard this, and then I put the TV on, and I saw this, and, you know, being military and a former aircraft mechanic, I knew this wasn't a haphazard thing. This was a definitive use of an aircraft to hit the World Trade Center. So, and it's sad. But I want to also tell you that my wife, I'm Catholic, and my wife was a sacristan for the Church of St. Andrew in Newtown, Pennsylvania. She was the sacristan when they had the service, and I was there too, for the Captain Saracini, and his daughter spoke, and it was painful to see your daughters have to utilize you instead of them being there. It was not good. Okay,
yeah, you're talking about our local pilot, Victor. I'm up against a tough break because we have a great guest with the Trump team. So, Lou, thank you so much. As we have this day of remembrance, and we just have to always share this, especially with those who are not born that day, like my kids. And I know you have many young people in your life who you just want to share this important remembrance today. This is The Dawn Show, 855-839-1210. A great guest with, it's Elizabeth Pipko with the Trump campaign. So we'll talk to Elizabeth, get her insights, some new details, and of course, find out, is there going to be a second debate? All of that and more just ahead. As we think about what former President Trump, Vice President Kamala Harris, the handshake this morning as they meet again for the second time in, less than 24 hours as they're commemorating 9/11, the terror attacks on our nation. Let's get to RNC spokesperson Elizabeth Pipko, who's also an American author, former model, media personality, political operative. Good morning, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So what is your takeaway after last night? The good, the bad, the ugly? Give it to me. What are your thoughts after the debate?
Yeah, so for me, I always say this, but I know where I stand, right? I know that I'm slightly biased, so I like to listen to other people. And what's been most interesting is just everyday folks that I'm talking to, even those that are not Republicans or not supporters of the former president, they're saying something completely different than what I'm reading in the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. Everyone agrees that Kamala Harris was very prepared for last night. I'm not going to take that away from her, but it seems as though the people really thought they were going to tune in and get the answers to their questions, right? There's kind of a consensus around the country that people don't really know where she stands. They don't know a lot about her. I don't know if you saw Don Lemon actually went around, did man on the street videos asking people for their opinion on who they're voting for in this election. And he came back and said not only was he surprised with how many people were voting Trump, he was surprised with how many people said they don't know anything about Kamala Harris. So I think for her, it was an opportunity to actually speak to the American people. We hear from Donald Trump every single day, right? I am proud to work for someone that is so transparent that you cannot miss him, right? 24/7, whether it's on social media, in the news, in a rally, in a press conference, in an interview, you are hearing from Donald Trump and you know where he stands on every single issue. So no one really tuned in to listen and learn new things about Donald Trump. They tuned in to compare the two candidates and learn where Kamala Harris stands on the issues that matter to them. And I don't think anyone walked away from last night thinking that they got those answers.
I agree with you. And as far as the moderators, David Muir and Lindsay, whoever, the delivery was bizarre. The venue, as far as, I mean, the National Constitution Center is not far from where I'm broadcasting here in Philadelphia. But the light, this dark room, obviously they're trying to make up for the fact that there's not a crowd. And I think that they denied the public the opportunity to see that crowd, even to have questions from people in the crowd who are maybe, since Pennsylvania is a swing state, you know what I mean? Have Pennsylvanians asking some questions. Wouldn't that have been nice? But what did you make of the moderators and their treatment of Trump versus Harris?
Look, I have to be honest. Every time I watch one of these, every time we have something like this coming up, I tell myself you're not going to wake up the next day and be the person that blames the moderators, right? I hate being that person, but I was infuriated last night. I mean, I'm watching them fact check President Trump, and then I'm watching Kamala Harris, the current vice president, right, get away with saying things like Donald Trump wants a national abortion ban, or repeating the Charlottesville hoax, which I think is disgusting and disgraceful that it keeps coming up. And the moderators are sitting there. And I think if you actually want Donald Trump and Kamala Harris to both get a fair shake, and you want to leave the choice to the American people because you believe they are going to make the right choice, you would be doing your job. It almost seems like they're afraid that if they give the candidates the same treatment and they let the American people know the truth on who was standing on that stage, that they're going to make the wrong choice and vote for Donald Trump. That's how it feels to me. I also didn't like that Kamala Harris said what she said, probably knowing that she wasn't going to get fact-checked, right? That's a huge problem, too. Yes. She said multiple things she knew were untrue because she knew that the moderators are going to sit there and let it happen. That's the problem, right? That Donald Trump, being in the race, being in politics for the last 8 years, has infuriated people to the point that they're willing to throw all their morals out the window, everything that they have agreed to be, not only as candidates, but as journalists, just because it might harm him in the election chances. And I think that's a giant problem. She said what she said, knowing the moderators had her back, knowing that they were not going to fact check her on things that are so ridiculous, right? If you were a real journalist, wouldn't you want the American people to know that the former president, possibly future president, did not say that white supremacists were fine people? Wouldn't you want that for the American people? But they don't, because no. They don't want to help him in this race. That's the real problem here. And I thought that was the biggest disappointment from last night.
Yeah. And this, when that went down and they didn't fact check it, Elizabeth, I just was so disappointed in them, because even Snopes, all these years later, albeit, but even Snopes, just this past summer, the more left leaning, fact checked it, came out and rightfully put it straight and said he never said that, even Snopes. And so to have those two, you know, anchors with ABC News in their breathless little delivery to not fact check that was wrong. And also the other one on the abortion issue that I felt was wrong was, and I looked it up, but Tim Walz, in fact, had signed a repeal of legislation called the Born Alive Act in Minnesota. So there was an act in Minnesota that said if an abortion goes wrong, if it's botched and the baby is born alive in a late term abortion, that in fact, previously, you would be given all the, you know, human rights of a person being born alive. Then Tim Walz repealed that. And so that is no more. And so at least according to the Minnesota Health Department, you know, we're looking at maybe 5 a year are born alive and then they, quote unquote, die. So Trump was not wrong in reporting that. And yet you saw, you know, Lindsay, there are no children born, you know, and her refuting that. To me, I felt that was a moment early on when I felt that I think Trump was taken off guard a little bit because it was so wrong. Do you feel that the moderators and then the lack of the audience, do you feel that it, you know, put him off or impacted him?
I do. Look, I think it's safe to say we know the kind of candidate Donald Trump is, and we know that he feeds off of an audience. We know that he appreciates talking to the American people. That's why he does these kinds of things as often as he does. And I think for him, he didn't want to talk to the moderators. He wanted to talk past them to the people that were listening, to the people that were tuned in. And they made that incredibly difficult. Yes. If their job was truly to fact check, they should have done it with both candidates. If their job was just to ask questions, they should have asked the same fair questions to both candidates. I clearly think that we know where these moderators are coming from. We've seen the way they've treated Donald Trump for many years, but you would think that if democracy was truly what they were worried about, right, if fairness and equality is what they're worried about, they would give the American people a debate that they deserve and let them pick the candidate that was best for them for themselves. That's the real problem here. Everyone thinks that they know better than the American people, right? They think that they should do them a favor by keeping information from them, by fact-checking the candidates they want to fact-check, because they believe the American people are going to listen to them and not take the 5 minutes to do the research for themselves. I think that's the real problem here. People still don't understand why Donald Trump was elected in 2016. And instead of trying to understand those that wanted him to be president then and still support him now, they choose to treat them like they don't know what they're talking about and take the job of a journalist to the next level and tell the American people how they should be voting and take their job to the next level of being basically a member of Kamala Harris's campaign and helping her out on the debate stage. I just think it's really just disrespectful, again, to the American people. Donald Trump can handle anything that's thrown his way, but I think if you wanted a real debate, you should have fact-checked both candidates, at least so the American people felt like they were getting the truth from both sides. But I think everyone knew what happened last night was not fair, and I think it's a huge problem because it shows how divided we truly are. And regardless of what happens in November, it sets an extremely dangerous precedent for our country.
You know, Elizabeth, I agree with you. I think that for Trump, one thing I would say that could have been a huge moment is when Kamala claimed that people leave the rallies early. I wish he had said the only rally that anybody left early, including me, was July 13th in Butler, Pennsylvania. And I promise you that for the family of Corey Comparator, I will return to Butler, PA, and we will remember and celebrate his life when he was murdered by an assassin's bullet that was intended for me. I think that would have been such a powerful moment. The moderators would not have dared to have interrupted him when he was saying that. But I think it would have been a powerful moment, and I wish he would have said that. I think he was taken a little off guard that she was making a claim that's clearly ridiculous.
I agree, and I can only imagine he probably didn't want to use Cory Comfortor's name that's politically. True. But just to think that Donald Trump gets attacked the way that he does for, you know, personal attacks and mean tweets, as they call them, but that she actually had the nerve to say that about his rallies, knowing that just a couple of months ago, not only was Donald Trump shot in the head and nearly assassinated, but a man actually lost his life. So the fact that she could say that and no one's talking today about her low blows and horrible personal attacks, it shows how biased everything is. I thought, honestly, I did after that day, I thought that the country would unite. I never thought I would see a former president nearly assassinated like this on live television in my lifetime. And I thought that after I found out someone actually lost their life at a political event in America, something that should never, ever happen in our country, that people would realize maybe we should cool it. Maybe we've gone too far in, you know, comparing Donald Trump to Hitler and everything else that's been said about him for 8 years. But instead, they went in the other direction, and moderators like the ones we saw last night actually encouraged them to do it. And I think that's the real problem, that they say one thing and do the exact opposite, no matter how the American people suffer from it.
You know, Elizabeth, you yourself, your family escaped the Soviet Union. You are, I believe you're Jewish. When you hear Kamala say that, you know, Putin and Trump are working together and you know, they call Trump Hitler, you must be offended by that.
Oh, 1,000%. It's comical to me that we are at this point with everything that's gone on, right? I mean, calling the man Hitler when he's been the best president we've ever had for Israel or Jewish Americans, saying anything about Vladimir Putin when the war happened in Ukraine under Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, right? It didn't happen under Donald Trump. And you can make jokes, you can make accusations, you can say whatever you want. But clearly, for whatever reason, Putin actually did fear Donald Trump and did not invade on his watch. So it goes back to the rhetoric versus the actions. It's very easy to stand on a debate stage and regurgitate, you know, pre-planned and practiced answers. What's not easy is actually keeping your allies safe and actually keeping your people safe. You can blame Donald Trump for whatever you want, but the fact is Ukraine did not deal with any kind of invasion on his watch. Israel did not deal with any kind of invasion and war on his watch. And for some reason, despite you making fun of him for many, many years with his plans, both with Israel and the Middle East, moving the embassy, for example, giving sovereignty to the Golan Heights, so many things that he did, which they said would result in a war, for example, just like in Russia, appeasing Vladimir Putin apparently would result in a war. They were wrong both times. For whatever reason, all of their attacks didn't work. And instead, their own actions, by the way, from people who are much more experienced in politics for many years than Donald Trump, are the ones that failed. And you would think that the moderators would want to remind people of that, too.
You would think.
This man was blamed for every single thing that he said. And yet we had peace. No one messed with us. No one messed with our allies. And the minute Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, who's a politician for nearly 50 years, went in, they felt comfortable to do what they did and to start wars around the world. So rhetoric is great, but when thousands of people are dead, thousands of innocent people, I think it's time to stop with the rhetoric and start being honest.
I know we're down to our final seconds, Elizabeth. Will there be a second debate?
I would just have to say, stay tuned. The decision is always up to the man himself, and he always makes the right one. So we are excited to find out.
Well, Elizabeth Pipko, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and Godspeed. RNC spokesperson Elizabeth Pipko, excuse me. Elizabeth, thanks for joining me this morning.
Sorry, she's gone.
So, Willie, I think it's interesting they're saying stay tuned for sure. Dan, do you think there will be a second debate? I don't know what Dan and Jimmy, I don't know what you think. 855-839-1210.
Yeah, the fact that they rushed so quickly to, you know, challenge for a second debate, it's kind of like it's kind of embarrassing, you know, that Kamala Harris was instantly, I want a rematch. It kind of shows to me that maybe she thought she lost. And, you know, when a loser knows they lost, they're like, yeah, rematch, let's go. So
I think the opposite. I think that she was relieved and she thought that everybody around her says, oh, you won, you did great. And I think she believes the hype. And I think that's fantastic that all of a sudden, you know, she's that person who believes all of the people around her and doesn't understand that she was very lucky with these moderators. But I would love to see a second debate. You know, when it comes to your home, trust is everything. For 45 years, Kitchen Magic has built a reputation for transforming kitchens with such professionalism, precision, and care. From custom cabinets to countertops, backsplashes, to those all-important storage solutions, Kitchen Magic gets the job done and fast. In just a few days, your dream kitchen becomes a reality without all the hassle. So trust the name your neighbors have been relying on for decades, Kitchen Magic. Get your free in-home consultation. Get this on the calendar. Just go to kitchenmagic.com. Let's cook up something extraordinary. Kitchenmagic.com. Tell them Dawn sent you. October 1st. And the moderators, by the way, for CBS News, I think one of them is Brennan, right? Elizabeth Brennan. She's pretty tough. And for CBS, I think she's pretty fair. So that with Norah O'Donnell, they will be the moderators for October 1st. So Walls is not going to get a pass like he did for ABC News. I'm just saying that should be a great debate. And J.D. Vance can pivot. So that's going to be one to watch. And we'll have some fun with that one. Speaking of pivoting, I want to take you to coming up at 11. You are going to hear from just an incredible young woman. And she is among those who testified yesterday at that House hearing talking about the Biden-Harris border crisis. And so we'll talk to her live. You'll hear from her. You can react to it. But she was speaking on behalf of an 11-year-old girl who authorities say was brutally raped, ravaged, murdered at the hands of an illegal immigrant. So April Aguirre, let's listen to some of what happened yesterday.
Immigration is good. I am the living proof of that. My parents don't even have a speeding ticket. That's the type of migrants we want. But bringing them to this country, it's further victimizing what these same immigrants got away from in their countries. We have to have some form of check and balances, a real system to identify these criminals that are hiding in sheep's, they're wolves in sheep's clothing is what they are. So I ask you, I implore you, close your eyes. I know you have a little girl in your family. Imagine somebody undressing her. Imagine somebody fighting her. Imagine somebody strangling her. Maria was so covered in bruises, I had to go and shop for a funeral dress for her to cover the damage that man did to her. Maria lost fingernails in her fight. Oh. And she's a migrant child.
That's
not everybody is the same. And we have to identify these monsters because, like my dad says, they're giving all of us good migrants such a bad name. We owe it to the migrants that are getting away from these communities, and we owe it to our citizens to offer them a safe society. People say, well, citizens kill too. But in these cases, all of these cases are migrants that cause this. And it's the failure of our policies by not checking them.
So, by the way, the 18-year-old suspect is being held without bond in the murder of the 11-year-old little girl that she referred to. So he was caught, was arrested by all accounts. But this little girl, Maria, what a tragedy. So we'll have the conversation. You'll hear from April yourself. But compelling testimony yesterday on Capitol Hill. And by the way, you know, how much coverage of this? How much coverage have you seen in the headlines even today? Have you seen much?
No. And one of the things I want to also highlight is in exchange with Representative Veronica Escobar, because April was incredible here. Listen to Veronica first and then listen to April's response.
What is happening today at this committee hearing?
This is Veronica Escobar.
Colleagues who are exploiting people's pain for political purposes. And unfortunately, that's what's happening today.
I don't feel American citizens.
It's insulting that you would say that to these families, that you would make an assumption that they're being used or exploited anyway. You know, what I will do is I'll give you my number. It's 281-673. And I'd like a phone call from you to see what you can do to help these families, because every single week I get bombarded with calls from victims all over the United States, but I'm just a small person with a small foundation that helps people here locally in Houston and Harris County. Not one time when her daughter was murdered and I was helping her navigate the criminal justice system did one Democrat call me to offer their assistance. It was only Republicans. And I am an independent. I vote both ways. So it's insulting. No, please don't speak over me because I'm still talking.
Okay. Responding to
I'm not done. I have the mic. I have the floor.
Good for
if
you.
Answer me. You ask.
Who has the time and the witness is allowed to respond?
So I'm asking. You said some very broad statements. It's insulting. These people lost loved ones. They lost children. And we want to see a difference. We may not understand everything that's going on, but I assure you that we're not being used in any way. And if today somebody calls that number that wants to help from any side of the aisle, we want solutions.
Thank you. Can't wait to talk to April just ahead here on The Dawn Show, 855-839-1210. What a fighter. And that's, you love her spirit, and she will not be deterred. And these career politicians cannot stifle or silence her. And so she's an important voice for those who she is trying to speak for and talk about a border policy that brings forth safety and security. And this is, it's amazing. I've talked about this so often. Wolves in sheep's cloth. How many times have I said that on this very show? Because the number one target, the number one victim of the migrants who come here when they are criminals, right? They're going to go within the migrant community, like this little girl, Maria, who was brutally murdered.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around waiting for the track to dry is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.